Morning, and praise the Lord. Let's turn to the book of Psalms chapter number 16 this morning. Not hard to find. Psalms is right there in the middle of your Bible. So if you open your Bible up out to the middle, you should be in the book of Psalms, Proverbs, somewhere in there. But Psalms chapter number 16, amen. Psalm 16, and we're going to start there at verse number 1 this morning. And when you found it, you can say amen, and I'll know that you're there. Amen. All right, hallelujah. Psalm 16 now. Verse number 1, this is what the Bible says. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In my presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Now we're going to take our text there out of verse number 8, where it says, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I was at a preacher's fellowship, and the preacher was preaching on this text and this thought. And that day when he was preaching, God said, I want that preached at Fellowship Baptist Church. And I said, amen. So what I did was I proponentized it and kind of worked on that a little bit, so it'd be wouldn't be plagiarized, so to speak. But the thought was a great thought, and that was, I shall not be moved. Let me tell you something. We live in a day of instability, do we not? We live in what we call a constant flux and a changing world. But you know what? God never changes. Amen. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. And you know what the psalmist said here? He says, I shall not be moved. What's he speaking of? He's speaking of not changing things, and not changing his faith and what he believes in and all those kind of things. And thank God that for that statement, I shall not be moved. I don't know about you. We may live in the 21st century, but I don't want to be moved when it comes to the things of God. I want to be like that great preacher of old, where he wrote on the door, took his thesis and nailed it to the church in Wittenberg there, and he says, here I stand. Here I stand. And you know what? I don't want to be moved when it comes to the things of God. Even though everything's changing about us, let me tell you, you don't have to change. So let's pray, and we'll get started. Father, we thank for your word this morning, and thankful for the thought that I shall not be moved. And God, we don't want to be moved. Even though we're in a changing world, God, we don't want to change along with it. We want to remain constant. We want to take our stand and have some faith in you. And God, we're thankful for the word this morning, and may it bless the hearts of those that are going to receive it. And God, may you speak to our hearts, and if there be one that's lost, may they see, God, that they need a Savior. Bless the word, have your will and way, and God will give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we read in the text here again this thought of I shall not be moved. And again, we live in a changing world. Values are changing, that's obvious. Morals are changing. Standards are changing. Who'd ever thought we live in a day where same-sex marriage would even be considered in our nation? But yet, it's being considered. Ethics, friendships, alliances, I mean, you name it, it's sad, things are changing. The psalmist said, I shall not be moved. Now, why is the psalmist not moved? It's obvious, because we understand some things in the verses that preceded when he said that. In verse number 5 and 6, we understand it was the Lord that was guiding him. Look in verse 5 and 6. Notice what it says there. The Lord is my portion. That's a good place to start. Of mine inheritance and of my cup, thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in good and pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. You know, he understood it was the Lord that was guarding him in his life. The Lord was the one that's taking care of him. And thank God, if God's for you, who can be against you? Amen. We believe that. Is that New Testament theology and doctrine? I believe it is. In Romans 8:31, that's what it says. What should we say concerning these things? If God be for us,
who can be against us? Amen. I think we understand that. And the example in the Bible was Daniel and David and the three Hebrew children. What about Job? Remember when God told the devil, he said, "Hey, have you considered my servant Job?" And he said, "Yeah, you put a hedge about him. I can't touch the man. He's protected." Well, thank God. That's our case in Jesus Christ. Amen. We're safe in Him, and it's God that's guarding us as a child of God. It's God that keeps us safe. It's God that walks along with us, and thank God that it is. So the Lord was guarding him, but not only that, in verse 7, the Lord is guiding him. Look what it says there in verse 7. And verse 7 says, "I will bless the Lord who hath given me my counsel. My reins instruct me in the night seasons." Who's guiding him? Who's instructing him? Who's giving him counsel? It's God. Where are we supposed to get our counsel from? From the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust the Lord with all thy heart and lean not thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." If it's not God who's leading you, then who's leading you? Well, who is it? I don't know about you. I want God to be leading me. Amen. It's either the Lord or it's the world, the flesh, and the devil that's guiding you. And I don't want to be guided by my own intellect or intelligence. I want to be guided, hallelujah, by the hand of the Lord. And the psalmist said, "I shall not be moved," because God was guarding him and God was guiding him. In verse 9, God was gladdening him. Notice what it says there in verse 9. "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices, that my flesh shall rest in hope." I mean, thank God. You know who the happiest people in the world are? God's people. We used to sing in Trinidad all these happy songs. We said, "We are happy people, praise the Lord. And I have the Bible, the Word of God. Satan had a hold of me, but Jesus came and set me free. By the blood of Calvary, oh praise the Lord." And we sing, "We are happy people." Now let me tell you something. When you're driving down the car with 17 adults in the car that only seats 5, you need to sing something. I mean, I'd laugh. We'd be laughing. And some of those folks, your sweat would have sweat. This lady, but man, she's in the car. We're all jammed up together there. And I'm singing, "We are happy people." And you know, she was lost sinner going to hell. And she wasn't very happy at that moment. And she was less happy hearing me sing, "We are happy people." But you know what? We got a reason to be happy, because the Lord is on our side. Amen. We got a reason to be happy, because the Lord's always there. We got a reason to smile and be happy. Brother Ron's always talking about smile and be happy. Hey, listen, hey, we got a reason to be happy. God's people are happy people. Amen. The psalmist was happy. That's why he said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Boy, that makes people sad, doesn't it? Get up, we're going to church. That ought to make you happy. That didn't make you sad, that make you happy. Look in Psalms 21. You're right there, Psalms 21. Look at verse number 6. Psalms 21, 6. "For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance." Amen. And again, it's God who gladdens us. It's the joy of the Lord is our strength, is it not? Isn't that what the Bible says in Psalms 94? And in verse number 2, if you look there, Psalms 94, 2, it says, "Lift up thyself." Is that the verse I want? Doggone, I wrote down the wrong verse there. That's okay. There's plenty of verses there talk about being glad. But the idea of being glad in the Lord and being happy. And thank God, the psalmist here in the text, he said, "Hey, I'm not going to be moved. God's guarding me. He's guiding me. He's gladdening me. And I'm not going to be moved." And you know what? I want to be the same way. I don't want to be moved when it comes to the things that we believe in and where we stand. I want that same thing to be my testimony when I die. When I die, if they say, "Well, Brother Chris was a dinosaur," you just complimented me. That's right. I don't want to change. We live in a changing world, but I don't want to change. There's some things with God's help and grace that I don't want to be moved on. And the first thing is, I don't want to be moved on when it comes to the Scriptures, the King James Bible. I don't want to be moved when it comes to this Bible here. And let me tell you something. People say, "Well, it's old and it's outdated and it's out of touch." Can I tell you something this morning? This Bible I hold in my hand is as fresh as this morning as a Sunday newspaper. Amen. And boy, folks got it all right, wrong. I can tell you this morning that this Bible is pure. This Bible is pure, and this Bible is perfect that I hold in my hand. Amen. If you're in Psalms, you're right there. Psalms 12. Look what it says in verse 6 and 7. It says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Amen. I'm going to take my stand when it comes to this old black book Bible that I hold in my hand, and the scriptures. And I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to get me an NIV or a funny book or anything else. And I'm not going to get me something that says, well, I was at a meeting and they said that, well, whatever you do, don't use the King James Bible. And don't use anything that's old and archaic and that people can't relate to. Let me tell you, everyone can relate to John 3:16. I'll tell you that right now. And everyone can relate to all of sin to come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I say to myself, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going to be moved. When it comes to these scriptures, when it comes to the Bible, I'm not going to be moved. Thank God this book is not only pure and perfect, we know that it's preserved. This word's preserved. And God, hey, He keeps His word from generation to generation, and thank God that He does. And I have as much confidence in this word of God, hallelujah, as they did in 1611 when they wrote it. I have as much confidence in this English Bible as Peter had in the Hebrew and the Greek, hallelujah. And thank God we can have confidence in the word of God this morning that the Bible is true. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. Peter went on to say this, and in 2 Peter 1 and verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth a dark place, until the day dawn, the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is of private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Thank God the word of God is preserved this morning, and we can have confidence in the fact that it's pure and preserved, and that it is without error. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he went on to say this in 2 Timothy 3. He says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Thank God the Word of God is permanent. You ever read over there in Psalms where it says the Word of God is settled in heaven? God's Word is settled in heaven. And God's Word is going to be here when this world has crumbled. Amen. When the world has come to naught, when God's folded it up like a piece of trash, thrown it in the fire, the Word of God's going to remain. And thank God that it will. The Word of God's powerful this morning. You know why people don't want this Bible put out there? Because it's powerful. Where the Word of the King is, there is power. And that's why this book, old black book, people want to do away with it, because there's so much power in it. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharpening the two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We don't need to rewrite the Bible. We need to be rereading the Bible. Amen. Reread it. Again, the Bible's fresh and it's reliable. The Bible says in John 17:17, "Sanctify thy truth, thy word is truth." Hey, there's no retractions. You know, in the Sunday paper, they print retractions. There ain't no retractions here. We're not retracting anything. And we're not redacting anything. We're not taking anything out of it. Hallelujah. We're not retreating from it. Thank God we're going to take our stand. Take our stand. Psalmist said, "I shall not be moved." I don't want to be moved when it comes to the Scriptures. I don't want to be moved when it comes to what the Bible says. I don't want to be moved when it comes to the Savior, the Son of God. They had a graduation at Chattanooga State a few days ago. And they wanted one of the Christian girls to pray. But you know what they told her? "You cannot pray in Jesus' name." You ever think we live in a day where people be told not to pray in Jesus' name? You see, something's wrong. You say, what did she do? She got up and prayed and says, "God, I thank you." I'll tell you what, that's wrong. I go down and pray at the Hamilton County Commission. They ever ask me not to pray in Jesus' name, I'll tell them, "You can forget it." But I, even worse than that, I'll go one more time and pray in Jesus' name and they cannot invite me back. Hallelujah for that. You ever thought we live in a day when they say don't pray in Jesus' name? I mean, the chaplains are told not to pray in Jesus' name. The military tells people not to pray in Jesus' name. I mean, doesn't the Bible say in Philippians chapter 2, wherefore God hath high exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in the earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father? You say, why don't you use them new perversions? Because they don't like Jesus' name. I like Jesus' name. We sing a chorus in Trinidad. Jesus, 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 I got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 I got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 I got him on my mind. I have Jesus on my mind. People say, I hate the name of Jesus. Well, let me sing it again. I love the name of Jesus. Thank God for the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Thank God for the name of Jesus. He's not he and he's not it. He is that is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Almighty King. Amen. There is no God outside of Jesus Christ. And I'm not moving. You ever read that in the Bible? Didn't they say that in the first century church? Look in the book of Acts, chapter number 5. Can I tell you how fresh the Bible is this morning? Hey, Bible understands what's going on in Chattanooga State. Bible understands what's going on in the U.S. military. The Bible understands what's going on in the government. The Bible understands what's going on in the state house across this nation. And Acts chapter number 5, and things haven't changed from the first century. And let me tell you, we need to have the same amount of courage and faith that all the apostles had in the first century church. In Acts chapter 5, look what it says in verse 24. And when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and chief priest heard these things, they doubted them whereunto they would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. And when the captain with the officers brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we have to obey God rather than men. And here it is, and the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, amen, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. You say, what's he doing? Don't tell me not to use the name of Jesus. The more you tell me not to use the name of Jesus, bless God, the more I'm going to use it. I'm going to pray, I'm going to preach, and I'm going to practice my faith in the name of Jesus. And too bad if it hair-lips the devil. I'm going to talk about the virgin birth, the vicarious life, the vivacious life, the vicarious death, the victorious resurrection, the visible return of Jesus Christ. And I shall not be moved. Let me tell you something. We need to get our feet planted on something. And have some faith in God and not be moved. The world's changing, but that doesn't mean you have to. That doesn't mean the church has to. Doesn't mean we have to abandon everything we believe. Can I say this morning? He said, I shall not be moved. Thank God, I'm not going to be moved when it comes to the Scriptures. I'm not going to be moved when it comes to the Savior, the Son of God. I'm not going to be moved when it comes to the saints in the church. Let me tell you, the founder of the church is Jesus Christ. And if we're going to take Jesus Christ out of the church, then we have no reason to exist. Because He's the founder. He's the founder. He's what our faith is about. He's the focus. And we need to take our stand when it comes to these things. I think the Bible makes it very clear that when it comes to the saints and the church, what we're supposed to be doing. And that is, we're supposed to be bringing people to Jesus Christ. If you look in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8, and hallelujah, bless God, we shouldn't change this in one shape, form, or fashion. Acts 1, 8, he says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the earth." What are we supposed to be doing? Telling people about Jesus Christ. I like all the ministries of the church, but the church isn't about the food pantry. The church isn't about the bus ministry. The church isn't about, hey, the choir. The church isn't about all these things. You know what the church is about? The church is about Jesus Christ and bringing sinners unto Him. Amen. You say, "Brother Chris, it's the 21st century. So what? They still need Jesus." I believe in the church. Wasn't it Jesus that said, "Thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it"? Can I tell you something? I believe in the church. I think everybody ought to be a member of a local Bible-believing church. I believe people ought to be faithful when it comes to church and be in the services and be a part of the work of God. Let me say this. I believe in baptism. A lot of folks going around today saying they're dry cleaners. Well, I don't believe in baptism. You believed it when you got baptized. I love to see people who get baptized say, "I don't believe in baptism." Well, you believed it when you got baptized. Doesn't the Bible say that in Matthew 28, "Go out and teach all nations to observe whatsoever command you. Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." I think baptism is an important thing. And I'm not changing. I think public confession of Christ is an important thing. Publicly confessing Christ as your Lord and Savior. People say, "Well, I got saved, but I don't want to tell anybody." You didn't get saved. You get saved, you'll want to tell somebody. Hallelujah, I believe that and I'm not changing. Matthew chapter number 10, if you look there, Matthew 10, and you say, "Well, I got saved, but I'm keeping a secret." No, you didn't get saved. No, you didn't get saved. You get saved, you'll want to tell somebody what God did for you. Anytime God did something for somebody in the New Testament, they want to tell somebody. Amen. What do you do when someone gives you if I gave you a check for $1 million today, would you keep it a secret or would you tell somebody? You tell somebody. If I gave you a brand new car and said, "Hey, here's the keys," you tell somebody. If I got you a brand new house and said, "Here's the keys," you tell somebody. How much greater is salvation? Would you be ashamed to tell someone you got a house or a car or $1 million? Why, you'd be shouting, jumping up and down. You'd want the whole world to know. And I think Jesus Christ is the same way. Say amen there. Amen. I'll say it for you. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 33. Look what it says. It says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But who shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Let me tell you something. There's something about publicly confessing Jesus Christ. There's something wrong with those who won't. There's something wrong with that. We shouldn't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. No sir, no ma'am, no how. There are a lot of pretenders out there. Was Judas a pretender? Oh, he was a pretender. We need to take a stand on some things and say, "I shall not be moved." Bless God, I'm not going to be moved when it comes to this Bible. I'm not going to be moved when it comes to the Son of God. I'm not going to be moved when it comes to the saints and the church. Thank God, I'm not going to be moved when it comes to supplication and praying. A man used to say, open his broadcast with, "God is on the throne and prayer changes things." J. Vernon McGee. God is on the prayer. God is on the throne and prayer changes things. Amen. Thank God for the privilege of prayer this morning. Do we not have privilege this morning when it comes to prayer? You realize that we have access to go to the throne room of God? Amen. I believe in prayer. I believe that God can still do some things. He said, "Well, we're living in the 21st century and, you know, and that's old fashioned and that's not..." No. It's still real today like it was 2,000 years ago, and thank God that it is. The reason we don't experience God's power is because we don't enter into our prayer closets to experience it. Hebrews chapter number 4. These are some exceeding great and precious promises. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter number 4, and thank God. Hebrews 4 and verse number 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." We look in Matthew chapter number 7. Oh, my soul. Matthew chapter number 7. I believe in the privilege of prayer. But it's something that we don't exercise very much in the day in which we live. Matthew chapter number 7. Look what it says there in verse number 7. It says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of whom, if a son ask bread, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye being evil now to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things, whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Let me tell you something. We have a great privilege this morning when it comes to prayer. And we have a great possibility when it comes to prayer. You know what Mark 9:23 says? It says, "If thou canst believe." If thou canst believe. All things are possible to him that believeth. You know what the problem is? People say, "I don't believe. I don't believe it. I don't believe it." And you're not going to receive it either. You don't believe it? Don't think you're going to receive it. You don't believe God can do something, then God ain't going to do nothing. Let me tell you, I've seen God do some miraculous things over the years, and he's still doing them to this day. Amen. You know why? Because I believe he's going to do it. We think God is so small. You know, we had our Faith Promise Conference. I you know what I tell all the brethren? I said, "Hey, God blessed, and we had a $10,000 increase." They said, "Brother Chris, man, that's just so amazing." I said, "You know what?" I said, "Our church could easily do 200,000 or 300,000. You say, "How can we do 200,000 or 300,000? If we had a little faith and believed in God. We call it faith promise, don't we? Do you really think that God could let you give $1,000 a month or $2,000? Do you believe God could let you do that? I do. I believe God could easily let anyone in this building give $1,000 or $2,000 in missions a month to the cause of Christ. See, we always think God's so small. Well, I can only trust God for a dollar. Hey, God's bigger than a dollar. God's bigger than $5. He's bigger than $10. Why don't we, hey, God, hey, I got a real problem in my life. My kids are dying and going to hell, and they need to be saved. Can we believe God? Okay, that's a big thing. How about we believe something big for God? We walk around thinking God's small and God can't do anything. We get this small God complex. Let me tell you something. I'm tired of the small God complex. I believe God can do anything. Hey, and we've seen some God do some things, big things around here at our church the last 12 years. Hey, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the world, the fullness thereof. God can do some big things. God can bring people to Jesus Christ. God can change hearts. God can do anything. God can save souls. God can heal people. God can do anything. Amen. But we got to believe that he can do it. And bring it to him. And believe that he's going to do it. And have some faith. Well, I'll tell you what, the Muslims believe Allah can do some things, don't they? The Hindus believe that Ram and Lakshmi Mad, they believe their gods can do something. The Mormons believe, why can't we, our God is real. Why can't we believe in him? Why do we got to make Jesus Christ so small? Could we have revival in America? You know why we're not going to have revival in America? Because no one believes we can have revival in America. You know why people aren't going to be, because we don't believe God's going to save them. Have some faith, believe in God. I'm going to take my stand and believe what I believe. I'm not going to be moved. I believe the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac, and the God of David is the same God who we're serving today. The God of the three Hebrew children, the God of Ezra and Esther and the God of Ruth and the God of Mordecai, and there's the same God who we're serving today. The God of Peter, James, and John, the Apostle Paul, is the same God who we're serving today. And God can work in the 21st century like He worked in the first century. And I'm not moving. The possibility of prayer. It was Jesus said in Mark 10:27, He said, with God all things are possible. I believe in the privilege of prayer and the possibility of prayer. Thank God in the power of prayer. You know what makes the devil tremble more than anything? When he sees your knee bent by your bed. When he sees your knee bent by your bed at night, the devil trembles. Because he knows you're getting a hold of the power of God. There's nothing more powerful than a person in their prayer closet getting a hold of Jesus Christ. There's more power than that than EPB ever thought about having at one of their power stations. But see, we've been moved a long way, have we not? You call for a prayer meeting, you can't get nobody to come. See, we've been moved. We've been moved away from the things of God. We need to be moving ourselves toward the things of God. How about this thing of sanctification and holy living? You say, well, Brother Chris, you can't preach on righteousness and holy living and the day in which you want to bet. Yes, we can. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be moved when it comes to the things of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says let's look. I just forgot the verse. Just went out of my mind here for a second here. But 2 Corinthians 7:1. Let's get the verse here and I'll read it to you. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Yeah, having therefore these beloved promises, dear beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Can there we have holiness in the 21st century church? I realize, my goodness, we live in a day when, and it's true, a preacher was preaching, says they look like they fell in a tackle box. And man, they got things sticking out over their head. Their hair is 25 different colors. It's tutti frutti. And man, you're thinking, my goodness. I mean, and God's people. I said, listen, we don't have to be like that way. Church doesn't have to be a circus, and you don't have to be a clown. How about we take stand for righteousness and holiness, and what's right in our churches and in our homes. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your minds. How about we be not conformed, but be transformed? Look right, act right, talk right, walk right. I guarantee if you got invited to the White House, that wouldn't be a time to make your hair like a rainbow. And that wouldn't be a time to, you know, to fall into the tackle box. And that wouldn't be the time, to have your pants hanging down, your underwear showing. You would not go into the White House that way. Why do people go into God's house that way? People walk around looking like a freak show where every day is Halloween. God help us. Christian people don't have to be that way. You say, Brother Chris, you ain't going to make no friends preaching like that. That's okay. I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to believe what I believe and stand where I stand, whether you like it or you don't like it. Amen. You say, do you talk to your kids that way? Of course I do. Hey, I say, if you want to look like a freak show, you go ahead. But I ain't going to look like one. They say, how do you like that? I don't like it. It's ugly. It's disgusting. I wish you wouldn't do it. You say, yeah, I do. I do tell them that. I tell them all kinds of things. Why? Because I love them. Have some sanctification in your life, some common decency. I'm not changing on this last one. What's the last one? This most important one. You say, what is it? It's salvation. Like it or not, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Muslims are not our brothers in Christ. The Hindus are not our brothers in Christ. The Seventh-day Adventists, let me tell you, they're following the teachings of Ellen G. White, and they're going to hell with their good works, and they need to be saved. They're not Christian people at all. Those poor, deceived Catholic folks who don't know Jesus Christ, their Savior, trying to get to heaven by their good works, are going to die and go to hell. I'm not going to be moved. And then poor Baptist folks who were raised Baptist are going to hell with them because all they are is Baptists. You got to be born again. Jesus said, except the man be born again, he can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. You got to be born again. He said, you must be born again. And I'm not changing. I saw a bumper sticker on this infidel's car just 2 days ago. And it said, my first birth was good enough. And I said, he's slamming Christianity. Let me tell you, there was nothing wrong with my first. There's something horribly wrong with your first birth, because your first birth made you a sinner. It's your second birth that makes you a child of God. And that sinner is going to find out one day, and he ain't ashamed of what he believes. You ever saw them bumper stickers that have a fish? And it says, what was that guy's name, the evolutionist? Darwin. It says Darwin on it. They ain't ashamed of what they believe. They're not moving on what they believe. Matter of fact, they're more bold about what they believe now than they ever were. Hey, we ought to stand up and say evolution's a lie out of hell. It's a lie. They can't prove it. They never could prove it. They'll never be able to prove it. It's a bunch of foolishness. And you got to be really stupid to think that you came from some goo that became an amoeba, and that became eventually a tadpole, and eventually became a frog, and then it became a lizard, and then it became a bird, and then it became a monkey, and then the tail fell off, and there you are. You got to be pretty stupid to believe that. I never could buy that lie. When I was a sinner going to hell, I said, you look like you evolved. Your family was at the zoo, but not mine. I came from God. I never could believe that lie. Not a day in my life could I ever believe that lie. Truth doesn't change. Truth is always truth. And that's why when they would teach evolution theory and they said, well, you know, everything we believed about this we know is wrong. And now here's the truth. Oh, yeah, right, sure, right, uh-huh. I'd laugh and say, "Yeah, your family tree started up there, with that baboon over there. You look like him, not me, friend. I came from Adam and Eve. When I was a sinner going to hell, I said this makes more sense to me." He said, "Well, the planet's billions. How do you know the planet's billions of years old? How do you know?" You don't know. You weren't there. You don't know how it was created except for the fact that God said in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. You don't know anything about it. You weren't there. I love when people want to be authoritative on history when they know nothing about it. People are going to put a movie on about Jesus. How could you possibly put a movie on about Jesus? You don't know enough about Jesus to make a movie about Jesus. And then you teach it as fact. Remember that movie, The Passion of the Christ? And then the Pope said, well, it is as it was. How does he know? Nobody knows. They weren't there. It's a movie. 1% truth and 99% speculation, which is otherwise known as a lie. But yet people walk around saying, you know, I'm not moving. I'm taking my stand. Psalmist said, I shall not be moved. They had that song. See, sing it in the songbooks. Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. Can't sing that no more. You say, why? Because you can't use the name of Jesus. You know why people are moving? Because they've taken Jesus out of the picture. Didn't Jesus say, those who listen to my sayings are like a man who built his house upon the rock, and the floods came, and the rains beat vehemently upon it, and it stood, for it was upon the foundation? And what did he say about that one that was built upon the sand? That the floods came, and the winds beat vehemently, and it fell, and immediately it fell, and the ruin was great. You know why people are ruined in the day in which we live? Because they're building on the wrong thing. Amen. You build on the sand, it's always moving. Amen. That's why our nation's in flux. How many of you kids, how many times you've moved to a different house? Our whole society is becoming transient. Moving, 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 and never putting down root anywhere. You say, what's it cause? Instability, emotional distress, family heartbreak. But see, we're in the 21st century. And we're moving away from Jesus Christ. So people's lives are becoming like the sand. And they can't get any footing. You know what I say? The psalmist said, I shall not be moved. You know what you need to do? You need to make up your mind. I'm going to build upon the rock. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to be a real Christian. And I'm not going to be ashamed of it. I'm going to confess the name of Jesus Christ. And the more they tell me to shut up, the more I'm going to speak up. I used to wear a little button on my shirt. And all it said was, Jesus saves. And people would get so mad. And so infuriated. And I said, what is it about that name Jesus that's got your shorts in such a knot? There's something about that name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. We all sing with me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Let's stand for prayer. I'm going to pray this